BZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump signing an executive order that would impose new tariffs on a large groups of U.S. trading partners to go into effect 7 days from today, which is the August 1st deadline to reach other trade deals. The White House says it is a new system of trade. Navy Federal Credit Union chief economist Heather Long says what it could amount to is a price hike for everyday Americans.
A lot of companies are trying to hide these price increases for consumers by putting them in just a little bit at a time.
They call it sneakflation. The president also planning to break ground in September on a new $200 million White House ballroom, complete with crystal chandeliers, marble floors, and gold trim. Severe storms and flash flooding across the Northeast overnight, upsetting the evening commute and flooding the New York City subway system again. A teacher who police say is admitted to stabbing a mom and dad to death on a hiking trail in Arkansas makes his first appearance today. The parents protecting their young daughters who were with them but not hurt. This is ABC News.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. When it comes to TV or movies, there is nothing like momentum. The Gilded Age is currently in its third season, and all arrows are pointing up. The show is tracking 25% more than its previous season and still has two episodes left of season three. HBO has already renewed the show for a fourth season. Social media chatter is up 60%, and Rotten Tomatoes has season three at 95% fresh. If all that weren't enough, last week's episode reached a series high in viewers at 4.5 million in the first 3 days of release. Looks like we have no excuse now not to check it out. If you're a fan of the show Luther with Idris Alba or the original version of The Office with Ricky Gervais, you'll have another option for viewing. HBO and BritBox, which specializes in UK mysteries, comedies, and dramas, have struck a deal where HBO will stream 15 BritBox shows during the months of August and September. The goal of both companies? Get so many viewers they can charge as much as Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers arrived in the nation's capital to face the Nationals tonight, part of a three-game weekend series. Milwaukee holding on to first place, one game ahead of the Cubs. The Brewers 20 games above 500, a .593 winning percentage. And as a division leader, that's the lowest ever heading into the month of August in Major League history. NFL, the Packers ready to go under the lights tomorrow night inside Lambeau Field for family night. What makes it so special? Tucker Kraft.
It's just the crazy part about Lambeau in itself is it's just this huge, glorious legacy stadium in a neighborhood. All the people of Green Bay, lucky 80,000, get to come pack the stadium out and just watch us practice. And it's not just an ordinary thing. It might be the only time some of those people get to get inside the stadium. And then the family aspect at the end of it, getting to go down the field. This year I'll be able to have my own daughter and my wife out there with me.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off taking in the best Wisconsin Northwoods has to offer. We've got you covered everywhere in the state. Enjoy highlights from recent shows and don't miss your chance to win tickets to see the Red Hot Brewers with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires here this afternoon. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 42.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Great Wisconsin State Fair is underway. Join us for Audio Sorbet, your favorite state fair memories. That's all coming up. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is a bit chillier out this morning than it has been recently, and I actually turned the heat on in my truck on the way into the office because I was getting a little jittery. I'm Ben Jarbo joining you this Friday morning, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. With the best 11 days of the summer underway, we will get an update on what the state fairgoers can expect in regards to the weather when ag meteorologist Stu Muck joins the show. And if you are attending the fair, make sure to stop by the Wisconsin Pork Association's food truck, get your pork on a stick. Kylie Allen talks with Morgan Warwick, the program and marketing director of the association, about all the things they have going on at the fair. But the state fair is not the only excitement taking place next week, as the Wisconsin Farm Tech Days will be in full swing, going from August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. Stephanie Hoff gets the details from Farm Tech Days Planning Committee member Don Zietlow on what field demonstrations look like for this year. We will also be taking a look at labor, and although the labor shortage is nothing new to the agriculture industry, recent trends show that it may be partially self-inflicted. I have a chat with Lynn Paulson, the Senior Vice President of Agribusiness Development for Bell Bank, on how this generation is producing far less kids than what's needed for farm labor. And if you stepped outside and noticed a smog covering the sky, it is once again the Canadian wildfires making an appearance here in the States. And although these fires are not in Wisconsin, the state is still helping to fight them. Coming up next, Stephanie Hoff learns more about how Wisconsin shares resources for these massive fires from Forest Ranger Mark Sauce. From the state fair to helping with international fires, we have a lot to cover this morning, so make sure to stick around.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join our friends from Wisconsin Farmers Union in Booth 607 and Midwest Farm Report at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on Wednesday, August 6th at 2 p.m. Wisconsin Farmers Union is united to grow family agriculture. Visit wisconsinfarmersunion.com to learn more.
This year's Farm Technology Days is celebrating generations of progress August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit wifarmtechdays.org for a full schedule of events.
Right now, there are about 70 active wildfires burning over a million acres in the United States. Almost all of it is happening out west, but we're seeing the effects here at home with air quality advisories. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. The Wisconsin DNR has mobilized its own wildfire fighters to help combat these flames out west and in Canada. Mark Sauce is a forest ranger covering the southeast part of Wisconsin across 10 counties. He also trains local fire departments on how to put out wildfires. He's gone out several times to help fight fires in other states, and Mark is waiting for the call to head out west now to help the fire suppression effort. He says it's not uncommon for states to share resources.
No, not at all. I think we usually send about 60 folks out every year. All things considered, the wildland firefighting community across the U.S. is pretty small. So when an area gets taxed, let's say Washington State or Texas or California, they can quickly use up all of their local resources. And there's an influx of resources from across the whole U.S., the Wisconsin DNR included, that'll come and help and try to assist when they need it.
So is it similar to fighting fires here in Wisconsin? I mean, the landscape's got to be different. What about the equipment and just the general size of fire, too?
Some of the equipment is different, and a lot of that is just based off of topography. Here in Wisconsin, we've got a great road network. Even our more remote areas in the north or in our more rural areas, we can still get pretty close to those fires with driving there with our engines and things like that. Out west, you have a lot more topography. You can't get to many of these areas, so a lot of it is more hand crew work. And it's men and women out still with tools and shovels and doing it that way. So that's going to be one of the bigger differences that we see between here and there. But otherwise, the size of the fires in Wisconsin, our average fire is 1 acre. Just because we can get there so quickly and we are supported so well by our fire departments. And obviously out west, it's not uncommon at this point to have a fire that goes over 100,000 acres. And some of these fires are growing 5,000 to 6,000 acres a day or more. So just the size and scale of that fire is really different.
That's got to be daunting, too, for, you know, if someone's career is spent fighting fires here in Wisconsin, do they need additional training to go out west? And what does that look like?
So the standards here, we follow the NWCG standards, National Wildfire Coordinating Group. They're the same qualifications and standards as you have anywhere in the United States. But obviously, the topography and how we do things is a little bit different. So a lot of our biggest benefit to sending folks out of state is gaining those qualifications and experiences that then we bring back home, and we're a better, safer fire organization in the state of Wisconsin every day when we're here working.
You've gone out there, you're waiting to hear the call if you need to go out again. Can you tell us what the experience is like? I've never been up close to anything larger than a bonfire before.
Sure. So when you get to a large fire, we're ordered to an incident. Basically, we'll set up, the fire crews will basically set up an entire town. So usually we take over a, work through a land agreement, and we'll use maybe it's the county fair area, or a high school that's empty for the summer, and we will set up everything from dining areas to they'll bring in mobile showers, and everybody sleeps in their own tent. So we'll set up an entire city for can be hundreds or thousands of people when we get out there. The day is typically 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. with the first meetings and briefings starting at 6 in the morning. You'll travel out to that line, and you'll work all day trying to put that fire out. And usually the day ends at around 10 o'clock with the last meetings and briefings and rehabbing and packing gear. And you get hopefully 8 hours of sleep, and you get to do it. Typically 14 days is the length of the assignment, plus travel on either side.
And my God, it's got to be hot. When can you start feeling the heat from these fires?
It is the gear and the PPE that we wear. Unlike you look at the structural side of things, they are wearing a whole bunch of gear that protect them from that heat. So in the wildland fire world, we simply wear Nomex shirts and pants. So it's essentially like the thickness or weight of jeans. It doesn't provide any thermal protection, but it definitely won't burn and do that. So once you start getting close to these fires, you'll know it really quick if you should or shouldn't be there, or how close you can be. But it depends on the size of the flame. And in the perfect world, we try to be as close as we can, and we'll put in our line to stop that fire 1 to 2 feet away from where that fire is burning if it's shorter flames. If you get into larger, higher fire behavior, then we'll back off, and we can go, we call it indirect, and you might be a half mile or a mile away, and then we'll put in a line and we'll burn it off ourselves. So we'll burn that fuel between us and the fire. The other thing to consider is once you're working at elevation, the It might be 100 degrees during the day, but if you're above 5,000-7,000 feet when you're camping at night, the other thing to consider is it's going to get real cold at night too. So it can get down to the 30s or 40s even this time of year if you're camping at elevation and staying there. So you got the very hot during the day and then definitely the cold at night.
We are in an air advisory right now here in Wisconsin because of the wildfire smoke. I'm sure that's another thing that you guys have to watch out for.
Some of the size of these fires and the intensity that they're burning with, it's definitely can take a toll. And after that 14 days or after a season of doing that, if you take multiple trips out, you can definitely kind of feel the lung function slowing down. You're not as efficient as you were. But the studies have shown there's no long-term risk or long-term damage to firefighters' lungs on true wildland smoke. It usually after some time away, it clears up and your lung function goes back to 100%.
Do you work with community members as well when it comes to making sure people are evacuated?
Absolutely. So on a fire that large, and it doesn't need to be huge, it's all hands on deck. So earlier this spring, myself and two others, we took an engine to Minnesota and we are actively doing evacuations there when this fire started and grew very rapidly. So we were going door to door evacuating folks, working hand in hand with the sheriff's department there, doing the same thing, making sure we get the people out, working with the local emergency management director and their department, making sure we've got a place for those folks to shelter. It's all hands on deck. We work with the local community and all the local responders there as well.
In agriculture, we're talking a lot about the tensions right now between Canada and the United States, you know, when it comes to trade, for example. But part of the compact for the federal firefighting agencies is that we do have a relationship with Canada because natural disasters, I don't think they care much about borders. So can you tell us about that relationship between countries?
Here locally, we have the Great Lakes Forest Fire Compact. That's Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ontario, and Manitoba. And that compact allows us to share resources pretty easily between our state and provincial needs. We've sent 20 people from Wisconsin alone up there. I know Minnesota and Michigan have sent a number of folks as well. Ultimately, these fires are going to burn where it is hot and dry. Sometimes that's down here and sometimes that's up in Canada. So we are actively trying to support them. When we have a need in the U.S., they've sent folks down as well. Oftentimes we use their aerial resources. It's not uncommon for us to get them, their aerial resources, their big water bombers to come down to Wisconsin as we need them. So it's, again, it's a community. We're trying to help them when they have the need. And when we call and ask them, they've been great with coming and responding to Wisconsin and the U.S. as well.
Mark Soss giving us some time before heading out west to help with wildfire fighting efforts. Wisconsin has been busy mobilizing resources, including personnel and engines, to over 65 out-of-state fire assignments so far this year. DNR staff have gone to 12 different states and provinces. Three of our wildland fire engines are also stationed in Oregon. Meanwhile, here at home, we may be seeing the smoke, but our wildfire risk is minimal thanks to the recent rains. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had 6 times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Forever Young Designs artist Spencer Young. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr brings new music from the best Wisconsin bands.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Until noon today, the state of Minnesota has an air quality alert. That's in effect until noon on Saturday, or 5 p.m. Saturday. I expect our Wisconsin advisory probably is going to be extended as we head into this weekend. That smoke is very stubborn, laying right in and really kind of holding on here as we have a high pressure system just settling right over our part of the Midwest, right here between Minnesota and Wisconsin. With that high, that air mass gets a little quiet in the upper levels of the atmosphere, if you will, and that smoke is able to just hang on. So that's what we have to expect. I expect some smoke and, of course, some nighttime fog and early morning fog. That's that kind of August pattern around here where that fog settles in. The dew stays a little heavier. There's enough humidity that moisture is going to be with us on and off. But we don't have to talk about rain. In fact, with that high pressure system overhead, sunshine a lot more likely for today, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right into next week, maybe mid part of the week. Keep your fingers crossed later Wednesday. We may finally have to talk about some rainfall. But before that, I expect some dry, comfortable conditions. Temperatures, in fact, only doing their best to get back in the neighborhood of normal. I'm saying a little cooler, even as we head to early next week. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Well, Stu, this week is having a lot of big outdoor events here in Wisconsin with the State Fair and the Farm Tech Days. Are people going to be pretty comfortable then, it sounds like?
I'd say comfort is going to be one we could look forward to, even next week, Farm Technology Days. Daytime highs more like normal, you know, low and mid-80s. That's not hard to tolerate. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update does include some morning fog and, of course, smoke today. Otherwise, sunny skies, upper 70s, mid and upper 70s across the state. The northeast winds about 5 to 10. We'll see smoke tonight, some fog in a few spots, otherwise clear, and down in the lower 50s, mid-50s in the south, northeast winds about 5, another sunny day Saturday. Most of us will be in the mid and upper 70s. And by Sunday with that sunshine, there may be a few low 80s in the south and southeast part of the state. And I'd expect only a southeast breeze about 5 with that sun on Sunday. And just in the low 80s by Monday, Ben. And for Farm Technology Days, like I say, maybe heading up toward the mid 80s. Thursday, a small chance for some rain. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, I am looking forward to this nicer weather. I won't be sweating a bunch and hopefully be able to breathe.
Yeah, we can hope that air clears up some, but, you know, we have to watch Mother Nature deal with it.
All right, well, that's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit CompeerFinancial.com and make sure to stay tuned in because coming up next, we hear a bit more information about the Farm Tech Days.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where he's joined by Hans Breitenmauser.
There were at least a couple of rural sheriffs that were passing emails back and forth about not necessarily cooperating any further with ICE, seeing how things were being handled. And really, Hans, I mean, it's about going after brown people first and foremost. Yes. But in Trump's case, he's like, well, as long as we're going after brown people in the blue areas, the white people in the red areas who need the brown people to make money are going to be okay. That sums up Donald Trump in a nutshell.
Well, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of where we're at. And obviously, all these things are more complicated than we'd like them to be. But that's reality. That's what it means to be a grown-up. Things are complicated sometimes. And what I can say is that the dairy industry falls completely apart in the state of Wisconsin without foreign born employees. We need a mechanism by which we can have people from other countries coming in and doing jobs in this country. Otherwise, the economy just doesn't work. Any economist worth their salt will tell you that. This isn't, economics needing a PhD. This is simple math. And so anybody that can't see past the idea that we're simply demonizing a group of people and scapegoating them, they're simply kidding themselves. And I'm willing to forgive people for that, but I have a hard time forgiving policymakers for that because, by God, they should know better.
Yeah, my response to that is when it comes to racial politics and Donald Trump and the MAGA wing, sometimes things really are as simple as they might seem. But that's my whole two cents on it. I got just over a minute left and wanted to ask you in general about June Dairy Month. There have been activities that are going on. And I always worry that as the years go by and as more of these factory farms come in and people start taking things for granted, do you still feel like all these June Dairy Month activities, they make a dent, they help folks around Wisconsin appreciate what's going on? Or are you more concerned that maybe it's not, you know, what it used to be?
Well, I don't think it's what it's used to be. You know, it's hard not to be nostalgic for the days when there were 13 dairy farms on my road, and now there's only 3 of us left. The dairy industry has changed a great deal, but I do feel like the June dairy events are well received and well attended, and they go to some very nice farms, some large and some small, and it does help the public appreciate, you know, what the dairy industry contributes to the state economy and helps educate non-farmers on what happens on real farms. And getting back to the earlier conversation, I hope that as we go forward, part of that conversation is the fact that there's brown people that work on those farms as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump signing an executive order that would impose new tariffs on a large groups of U.S. trading partners to go into effect 7 days from today, which is the August 1st deadline to reach other trade deals. The White House says it is a new system of trade. Navy Federal Credit Union chief economist Heather Long says what it could amount to is a price hike for everyday Americans.
A lot of companies are trying to hide these price increases for consumers by putting them in just a little bit at a time.
They call it sneakflation. The president also planning to break ground in September on a new $200 million White House ballroom, complete with crystal chandeliers, marble floors, and gold trim. Severe storms and flash flooding across the Northeast overnight, upsetting the evening commute and flooding the New York City subway system again. A teacher who police say is admitted to stabbing a mom and dad to death on a hiking trail in Arkansas makes his first appearance today. The parents protecting their young daughters who were with them but not hurt. This is ABC News.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers arrived in the nation's capital to face the Nationals tonight, part of a three-game weekend series. Milwaukee holding on to first place, one game ahead of the Cubs. The Brewers 20 games above 500, a .593 winning percentage. And as a division leader, that's the lowest ever heading into the month of August in Major League history. NFL, the Packers ready to go under the lights tomorrow night inside Lambeau Field for family night. What makes it so special? Tucker Kraft.
It's just the crazy part about Lambeau in itself is it's just this huge, glorious legacy stadium in a neighborhood. All the people of Green Bay, lucky 80,000, get to come pack the stadium out and just watch us practice. And it's not just an ordinary thing. It might be the only time some of those people get to get inside the stadium. And then the family aspect at the end of it, getting to go down the field. This year I'll be able to have my own daughter and my wife out there with me.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday at 8:05, we're talking live with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez about her journey from nurse to healthcare leader to legislator to candidate for governor.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And
we are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires here this afternoon. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle-numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%, 25%, or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect, you just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matt and Air on Air. Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden joins the show to talk about the LFPA program.
The LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program, and you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops.
Yeah, this program seems like a win-win to me. It's good for the farmers who are incentivized to produce this food. It's good for the food pantries. It's not like the government is coming to Wisconsin farmers and saying, you have to grow X acres of food and then I want you to give it away to hungry people. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. You know, there's a payment-based system there on what the farmer is going to produce for this market that's been established. It's there. It's also something that's getting, you know, that those fresh fruits and vegetables more directly into the consumer hand and making it more available for more people. You know, when we look at what's going on in the general grocery store aisles, you know, most of those products are not fresh anymore.
Right.
They're getting to be a week or 2 weeks old because of the distribution network. They go from the farm to a processor to a distribution center, and you got a whole week that's passed already before it ever gets to that local grocery store shelf. So, you know, this is getting something in people's mouths within 72 to 96 hours from when it was picked off the land. And, you know, why aren't we doing more of this across the whole country, you know, versus depending on a food system that's really broken at this point?
Well, and again, now we're talking about making more restrictions for people who do receive food stamps and those kinds of benefits. We want to restrict what they can buy in the stores because we want them to buy healthier things. Mm-hmm. And then yet at the same time, we're going to take away these healthier options and hurt our farmers at the same time. There's so much stuff working at cross purposes in this bill.
Yeah, it is, you know, and certainly we would like to see the farm bill, you know, pass as it is. There's a ton of improvements that can be made, but in this current political situation, that simply isn't going to happen. But let's pass the farm bill as a farm bill and not have it in this big, beautiful bill that's going to, you know, be a detriment to the whole country, not only on the budget deficit that we're going to see, but also, you know, the programs that are being cut and not being helpful to, number one, the American farmers, but number two, the consuming public.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Yeah, kind of an mutiny. All for one for all type of a deal.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo, and you are listening to the Midwest Farm Report. I mean, it's finally Friday out here, and you might be wanting to get out on the lake and catch some fish or even just in ponds. Just go fishing. And if you are, it's going to be pretty similar to yesterday. So if you're listening in yesterday and you want to know what to use, it's going to be the same type of things. It's going to be a slow day. The water or the temperature change is really going to affect these fish and what they're biting. So I would still lay low and slow, hit those depths. Every once in a while, you might be able to come up and check in the weeds. But if you're doing that, I would run a crankbait, maybe even a jig with a nice crawl bait on the back, because those fish are gonna be wanting something that's gonna be slow. You might have to dangle and work for that bite. But you could also try something like the crankbait I was mentioning, something that'll get a reaction bite, because they might be just waiting for something to swim right past them. They're not gonna be chasing, most likely. So that's another option if you wanna try that. I would try some of both. Be looking in the depths, you know, points where there's sudden drop offs at the bottom of those where they can go up and down. But if you do go out, good luck out there. And if you like this fishing update and want to hear more, tune in tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. using the farm app to listen to my show, Setting the Hook, where I talk about lots of things, pretty much everything fishing. And recent trends show that there are actually less little ones available to go fishing, and that doesn't just affect that sport. It affects agriculture as well, as it has partially led to a labor shortage. Let's listen into my talk with Lynn Paulson on why this is happening. Labor shortage is no new issue in the agriculture industry, but it may be partially self-inflicted. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. And according to Lynn Paulson, the Senior Vice President of Agribusiness Development for Bell Bank, 68% of people are not having kids. This dramatically drops the future labor force. He shares what the impact of having less kids is doing to the industry, as well as how land ownership is changing due to this trend.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, the replacement of fertility rate needs to be like a 2.1, just to maintain population. You know, the U.S. is right now is down to like 1.6. China's like 1.1, right? We're just simply not having enough kids worldwide and in the U.S. to do that. I think there's a couple things that come into play there. Number one is what does that do to our future labor availability in the U.S., right, where all the work is going to come from. And I think secondly, you know, for decades, you know, we've talked about, you know, a population growing in the world and how we're going to feed all these extra people, whatever. That thing's going to tail off pretty quickly, and we're going to not have as many people as we thought. And that population is going to get older, right? So as they get older and they retire, you got fewer people working, and you've got fewer young people, you know, that are coming up to do the jobs that are needed to be done to take care of all the older people.
And part of this, as well as you're kind of alluding to, is kids aren't necessarily wanting to get into agriculture either. And that brings up another point when it comes to the land. There are land sales and land sale values. What is that currently looking like? And is this land actually going back towards agriculture, or is it coming more for recreational or real estate use?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, you know, it's still about 75% of the land that is being bought is still being bought by active farmers, right? But they may be bought by active farmers that are 65, 70 years old, you know, and they're buying it for the next generation coming up. I think there is concern about, you know, at institutional or non-farm people that are coming in to buying land, whether it be the Bill Gates or investment firms or, you know, those type of things that don't necessarily have a tie to the land or the agriculture, and they're probably in it for different reasons than established producers, right? And then probably don't have the same tie to the land in terms of conservation and things like that. So I think that's something that really needs to be monitored. And I know there are states out there that have got some nice limitations on who can own the land and corporations and things like that. But as of this point, I mean, there's still a fair amount of money out there for existing producers buying land. But as I mentioned, with all that land changing hands the next, you know, 10, 20 years, you know, who's going to be all there to buy the land?
And what are those land prices doing right now? They were going up for a while there, and there were some real high prices that I was seeing. Are they starting to taper off a little bit but still remain kind of high? Or what are you seeing from a banker's perspective, and what do you advise your farmers to do with high land prices?
Yeah, you know, I think at this point, I think the land market is largely stabilized. You know, I think, you know, if this farm economy stays in a little extended downturn, you're going to see some softening. I think we're due for maybe a correction, but not a crash, right? I mean, there's not a lot of leverage on this land in terms of debt against it and so forth. But I think you will see two things happening. One, maybe existing producers that need to sell a little bit of land to build back working capital or whatever. I think the other big thing is, you know, as non-farm heirs inherit this land from the older producers, you know, as I mentioned, 68% of the producers out there have no kids farming, right? And so what's going to happen to that land? In all likelihood, it may stay in the family, but in all likelihood, it's going to be sold. So I think you're going to see more land coming on the market, maybe at a time when the ag economy comes in a dip. And I think that's where I come in and say, you know what, we're probably due for a correction, but probably not a crash.
Paulson says that even though these trends might sound scary and there may be a few bumps in the road, the agriculture industry will remain strong for the foreseeable future. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo. Make sure to stick around, because coming up next, we are going to look at the markets.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
Welcome back, everyone. When I take a gander at the markets, it looks like they're pushing a bit higher to start this Friday, with cash corn up 1¾ cents at 395¾, and new crop corn up 1¾ cents at 415½. Cash soybeans are up a penny at 970½, with new crop soybeans also up a penny at $9.90 and a quarter. September wheat contracts remain even at $5.23 and a quarter. September classroom milk contracts are down 9 cents at $17.51 a hundredweight, with October contracts up 17 cents at $18.06 a hundredweight. 40-pound blocks of cheese closed yesterday up a penny at $1.68 and a quarter, with butter remaining even at $2.47 and a quarter. Make sure to stick around because coming up next, we hear more about the Farm Tech Days.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Americans really like voting by mail and in-person early voting. That, according to 2024 statistics from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. According to EAC, 158,211,780 citizens voted out of 211,144,275 active registered voters, a 74.8% turnout, 3 points lower than 2020. Among the 158 million voters, 52.8 million voted in person on Election Day. But far more Americans voted early, with 46.8 million voting early by mail and almost 48.9 million voting early in person. Mail-in voting accounted for 30.3% of votes cast, with some states offering universal mail balloting or permanent mail or absentee lists. Over 15 million ballots were returned via drop boxes in 36 states, up 10% since 2022. The percentage of in-person Election Day voters dropped in 2024 to only 37.4%, while in-person early voting jumped to 35.2%. The combination of mail and early in-person totaled 65.5%. It's clear that early voting is here to stay. We've linked to the report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins the show to talk about the launch of her campaign for governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Look into what the demonstrations might hold. Take it away, Stephanie.
At Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, feel the demonstrations, draw crowds, and turn heads. After all, Farm Tech Days is one of the few places you can see the latest in agricultural equipment in action. While these demos do make a great show, they'll also be a key part of decision-making for producers looking to invest in new technology. Don Zietlow is leading the effort to put together field demonstrations at the show. He says he's been passionate about this project since he was a boy.
Well, back in 1978, the year I graduated high school, our ag class and FFA members got to come down and actually drive the demo equipment. So I spent 3 days on a tractor and a plow down here. And I do some work for Tom Clinton, and I happen to be here doing some welding for him, and they were talking about it, and they said, "Boy, do I have a job for you?"
You have it. Well, it sounds like you have a soft spot for the demos since you did it. You know, you did it here so many years ago, and now is your chance to come back and do it again.
Yes, and I see. Usually, I have no problem talking. And so I should be able to lay it on good and thick.
Yeah, lay it on good and thick for us now. It's an August show, so what's the main event for the field demonstrations? Is it going to be wheat? Is it going to be hay?
At this point, it's going to be hay. Try to get it set up so we're doing cutting, merging, harvesting all 3 days. And we will, and for the tillage, be the same as a explain what's going to be going on at the time. And hopefully somebody from the companies will be here to come and explain what their latest and greatest is in comparison to what else is in the field.
Well, that's part of the challenge, yeah. Convincing the company to lend you some pricey equipment to try out.
I'll say, when I grew up in kid in school, we got to go to show and tell, see what you show up off your friends, and you'd think the companies with the new equipment would want to do the same, you know, instead of just looking at videos and pamphlets, actually see it in action.
Well, so this is a good opportunity for some of the equipment dealers in the area to show off their equipment, but also show people the latest and greatest in ag technology, right?
Correct. They're going to be doing some drainage tiling will be going on, too. And then the American Drone will be out there doing their thing. We, at this point, we don't know if there will be wheat left for combining or not. They might save a strip for the older, for the threshermen. So to let the antique equipment do that. It all depends on Mother Nature and how the season goes for the growing.
Weather dependent, but folks can stay up to date on what they can expect at the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days website. So as these plans are falling into place, they can follow along with you, right?
Correct. Yep.
Now, Don, you're a retired dairy farmer, you said.
Yep.
Give us a little then and now of how technology has maybe changed from when you were on the farm to a modern dairy today.
Well, it went when I was young, we had the milk bucket, so you carried all the milk, and then we had the transfer where you could pour the milk into a container and a vacuum would suck it to the milk house, and then we put the pipeline in, so, but you were still kneeling down and stuff. Dairy farming is bad on knees for the farmers, but I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And now you got all the big milk parlors, and I mean, when I was farming it, I had 80 head, and I thought we were a big farm, and that's a mom-pop farm compared to nowadays.
Yeah, and the family farm may look a little different. Easier on the knees?
Oh, yes.
So when you were a kid, like when you came in 78, senior in high school, did you learn something that you took back to the farm? Do you still see that same kind of concept today where you see something new and then you want to take it home with you?
Oh, yes. It made a difference seeing the different equipment, and being on the farm made it easier to decide what kind of equipment we wanted. I can't say anything bad about any of the colors. They all do their job.
Don Zietlow along with us. He's leading the Field Demonstration Committee for Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Still some time yet before the show to get all of that equipment in place. Tiling, tillage, and hay demos will be on display at the state's largest farm show at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, August 5th through the 7th. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thank you, Stephanie. Now if we go from one big Wisconsin event to another, Kylie Allen joins us with everything you need to know about the Wisconsin Pork Association's food truck at the State Fair.
The Pork Shop makes it easy to enjoy pork on the go at the Wisconsin State Fair. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report. Morgan Warwick is the program and marketing director at the Wisconsin Pork Association. She tells you what's on the menu this year at the pork shop.
So you can find a butterfly pork chop sandwich, a pork burger, and our America's Cut chop on the stick.
It's seasoned with something special. How do you come up with that?
Yep, so we have a special seasoning that we source from a pork producer group here in the Midwest, and so that's kind of our key to the flavor of it. And then also, there's a few tricks that our grillers use as well that I'm not going to showcase, but it's definitely worth trying it out. So,
and all of that pork, is it local to Wisconsin, or where is it coming from?
A lot of it's coming from the Midwest. So a lot of, you know, some of it's Wisconsin, and some of it's from surrounding states as well. And our goal is, you know, hopefully we can eventually do all of that. But we also do have a Wisconsin-raised program that we're promoting here. And so our customers will see QR codes posted around our pork shop and the seating area that will take them to a list of producers and processors that raise Wisconsin pigs and process them here in our state as well.
And is that informational accessible at all times, or are they just going to be able to find it when they're here in the tent?
Yep, it's live on our website at WPPA.org, and there's a Wisconsin Raise tab that they can find all that information.
And over the course of the fair, I imagine you're feeding quite a few mouths. How much pork do you go through here in the pork shop?
Usually we're right around 25,000 pieces of pork, give or take a little bit. So we're really hoping to beat that this year. We've slightly been increasing the last couple of years. And so with the new pork brand and with all hopefully great weather, we're really excited to hopefully blow that out of the water this year.
Awesome. And then where can people find you here at the fair?
So we are right across, right between the Coliseum and the Wisconsin Products Pavilion. Right on the corner, we've got the bright blue trailer. So make sure to look us up anytime you're going to any of the attractions or to the Coliseum, and we'll be here for you.
And are those trailers a new addition to the shop?
Yes, this is just our second year with the new trailer, so we're really excited to showcase the new brand and to bring some excitement and refreshments and be able to continue to increase our efficiency for our volunteers and our customers, and we're excited to deliver another high-quality product this year.
Why did you have the addition of the trailers? Is it more efficient?
Yeah, so we were really trying to kind of upgrade and modernize a little bit, make things more efficient, make something that's easier to transport if we want to go to different events. And so that was a big asset. They were custom made. We had a great crew that did it and planned for them. And so we're learning each year.
Flavorful, juicy, and locally produced pork chops are on the menu at the pork shop. Morgan Warwick, the program and marketing director at the Wisconsin Pork Association, along with us today. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Thank you for listening. And now signing off from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Farmers are no strangers to dealing with loss. That's next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Losses of many kinds are inevitable in farming, and they can impact mental health. Ag-related mental health counselors refer to the term ambiguous loss, which can be a physical loss, a psychological loss, or a combination of the two. Emily Krekelberg is with University of Minnesota Extension.
When we're dealing with ambiguous loss, grief is likely something that's never really truly going to go away. And so there's a real focus on building resilience as a means to help individuals cope with that grief and be able to live with that grief long term.
Krekelberg says losses can impact a farmer's personal life and a business life.
Losses can be challenging, but there's also opportunity. So we really want to take the focus away from loss and focus it more on change.
For example, says Krekelberg, you might have to sell your dairy cows for some reason, but you might find another way to use your farm assets. She says it doesn't hurt to be hopeful.
Discovering hope is not about toxic positivity or toxic optimism, like everything will be okay all the time. You can still be realistic, but also have hope that things will get better, are getting better.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off taking the best Wisconsin Northwoods has to offer. We've got you covered everywhere in the state. Enjoy highlights from recent shows and don't miss your chance to win tickets to see the Red Hot Brewers with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday!
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The White House is hailing what it says will be a new system of trade after the president has finalized tariffs on nearly 70 countries. ABC's Nicole DeAntonio is in Washington with details.
Higher tariffs on many countries were set to take effect today, but have been delayed until next Thursday to give customs officers time to prepare. One country's new tariff rate will begin today, Canada's. The president raising that country's tariff from 25% to 35%, although it will affect only a small percentage of Canadian products.
Canada says what affects it more is the tariff on steel and aluminum. Today we find out July unemployment numbers as well. Middle East Special Envoy Steve Witkoff is visiting Gaza today to see the aid distribution site set up by the U.S. and Israel. The U.N. says more than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed trying to get food as Gaza remains on the brink of famine. California Governor Gavin Newsom says his state will draw a new congressional maps before the midterms, just like Texas, for political reasons. This is ABC News.